Saturday marks 20 years since Britain handed over control of Hong Kong to China. A lot has changed in those 20 years, and not all of it has led to warm feelings between autonomous-minded Hong Kongers. Today, Hong Kong hosts Chinese President Xi Jinping for the first time in his presidency, and tensions are high. The slogan for the relationship between Hong Kong and China is one country, two systems. But today, Hong Kong faces fears of being absorbed into the country as just another Chinese city, while Beijing is concerned about massive protests that they could undermine Xi's public image and their own authority. Isaac Stonefish is a senior fellow at the Asia Society Center on U.S.-China Relations. He's in studio with me. Thanks for being here, Isaac.
Thanks for having me.
20 years of one country, two systems, as I mentioned. What kind of environment is President Xi walking into when he visits Hong Kong today?
He's walking into an environment that's very different from what he normally sees when he visits other parts of China. When he goes to Shanghai, when he goes to Guangxi, when he goes to Macau, even another Chinese territory that's also under the one country, two systems model, he sees Chinese people lined up to support him. He sees party bosses and party officials who are there to praise him. And in Hong Kong, the picture is a lot more complicated. He is going to see, despite attempts by Chinese security forces to not allow this to happen, he's going to see open signs of dissent.
What's the subtext of those open signs of dissent? What's going on below the surface?
So there's two different ways you could look at this. On the one hand, China has actually done a fairly decent job of allowing Hong Kong to maintain some of its autonomy when you compare it to places like Tibet, places like Xinjiang. These are very, very troubled regions that Beijing promised autonomy. They're not provinces. They're called autonomous regions. And the situation there is very horrific. They basically function as police states. So when you compare them to places like that, Beijing did keep a decent amount of its promises. The problem is that they didn't keep all of them. And there's a lot of really important ones that people in Hong Kong feel like Beijing didn't even make a good faith effort to keep with them.
Like what? What do they want, the Hong Kongers generally?
So some Hong Kongers want universal suffrage, and some of them want to be able to have this independent identity outside of being mainland Chinese.
I read this incredible statistic, in fact, that a poll of 18 to 29-year-olds in Hong Kong, just 3% of them describe themselves as Chinese, and something like 65% said, no, I'm Hong Konger.
It's absolutely incredible. And one of the things the Communist Party really has tried hard to do in the 60-plus years they've been in power is to define the party as China and Chinese as people who are part of this great Communist Party family. So when you have these independent identities popping up like that of Hong Kongers, it's incredibly worrisome for them.
So things can move subtly and slowly in China, especially when it comes to politics. They're kind of famous for that. What does more control from Beijing in the years ahead look like? Would ordinary Hong Kongers notice, let's say today versus 20 years from now, when the slow creep of Chinese authority seeps into Hong Kong, as inevitably it probably will?
I think that's a great question, and a lot depends on how much Hong Kong student leaders like Joshua Wong and some of his compatriots, how much they decide to put their foot down and stage other protests like they did 2014 with the Umbrella Movement to try to prevent the mainlandization of Hong Kong. We've already seen a million more mainland Chinese coming into Hong Kong, swelling the population, pushing up real estate prices, but also, you know, allowing for more dialogue between the two sides, allowing for healthy immigration. And I think how this affects actual Hong Kongers depends on both future protests to come and how much Beijing makes it a priority to have Hong Kong be firmly in the grip of the mainland.
Isaac Stonefish, senior fellow at the Asia Society Center on U.S.-China Relations. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, art, politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.